This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We are giving the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rum, chapter number 30. My dear brothers, I have never been interested to give the tafsir of any surah like I've been interested to give the tafsir of this surah. It is one of the very amazing surahs. And really, if you reflect upon it, you will be amazed that Allah Jalla wa Ala is, you will be amazed of the ability of Allah Jalla wa Ala to speak such words. And you will be really amazed of the power of the Qur'an. You will be amazed of the power of Allah Jalla wa Ala that who speaks this kind of words. And I swear by Allah, had anyone from the disbelievers read this surah with an open heart, he will submit to Allah Jalla wa Ala and he will surrender to Allah Jalla wa Ala and he will fall upon his knees, testifying that there is no God but Allah. It's a very powerful surah. Very, very powerful surah. And it is a journey that takes us through number of or different types of gardens. And we will be picking from each garden the best of it. And this is the nature of the Qur'an, in a very fluent and smooth way. And you read and you would like to read more. You will read and you would like to move to the second verse, to see what the second verse is going to say. It's a very amazing surah, as I said. And wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, if you don't taste the Qur'an, you have not tasted the reality of and the sweetness of this life. If you haven't tasted the Quran yet, you should be sure that you have not really tasted the beauty and sweetness of al-Iman. And go back to yourself and check yourself and to try to work hard in order to taste the sweetness of the Quran, and once you taste the sweetness of the Quran, you will really start to taste the sweetness of al-Iman. And once you taste the sweetness of al-Iman, you will taste the real sweetness of this life, and you will start to live in the Jannah of this dunya. Take it seriously, my dear brothers and sisters. And wallahi, I am so amazed that there will be a Muslim who really claims that he is confident that he is a Muslim, and he is enjoying al-Islam, and he doesn't really enjoy the beauty of al-Qur'an as Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed it, Qur'anan Arabiyan ghayra di iwaj. And I urge you, my dear brothers and sisters, to learn Arabic in order to start tasting the power of the Qur'an, the beauty of the Qur'an, as Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed it. Wallahi, if you listen to this surah, and the brother, Jazallah Khair, read it in a very beautiful way, if you just listen to it, that is more than enough for you to reflect upon it, and the meanings, the powerful meanings in that surah. And it is more than enough. Many people, my dear brothers and sisters, always ask how to purify their hearts, how to soften their hearts. They always complain about their hearts, that they have hard hearts. And they are asking about the cure for that. And subhanAllah, for me, the one who is asking about this, it means that this person have not tasted the beauty of the Qur'an as Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed it. That this person have not yet enjoyed the Qur'an. that this person have not yet developed a strong relationship between him and the Quran. Because no one can say that he reads Al-Quran frequently. Yes? As Allah Jalla wa'ala revealed it, not the English translation of Al-Quran. This is another stage. But the firstly, to read Al-Quran, as Allah Jalla wa'ala revealed it, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا as Allah Jalla wa'ala revealed it, and then he will have a hard heart. It is impossible. It is impossible. Yeah? Allah Jalla wa'ala says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. There is a powerful meaning in this ayah, that had Allah Jalla wa'ala revealed the Qur'an on a mountain, obviously, the mountain will not be able to understand the Qur'an. صح? The mountain is what? Rocks, stones, etc. won't understand the Qur'an. But just by the power of the words of the Qur'an, even if you don't understand them, you will what? Humble yourself and you will just collapse because of the power of the Qur'an. But you need just to read it properly, let alone being able to read it and to understand it. I can talk more and more about it. It is just a reminder, my dear brothers and sisters. And try it, and you will see what I'm talking about. Anyway, this surah is a Makki surah that was revealed in the recent, it was revealed just before the migration of the Prophet ﷺ from Mecca to Medina. And most of the Mufassirin said that it is a Makki surah. And very few Mufassirin said that maybe there is one verse of it that was revealed in Medina. The Makki surahs are always talking about what? Talking about the matters of aqidah, the matters of belief in Allah Jalla wa'ala. This surah is talking about it in a very powerful way, in a very challenging way. And in this surah, Allah Jalla wa'ala sends different messages. And it seems to me that the core message that Allah Jalla wa'ala is sending to us through this surah is a message related to Ar-Rum. What is Ar-Rum? The Romans. When we talk about the Romans, what do we remember? What do we, when we talk about Romans? We talk about what? Strength. And what? Strength in terms of quantity and in terms of quality. طيب. And we normally remember hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authentic hadith, that لن تقوم الساعة إلا والروم أكثر الناس. The ساعة will be resurrected or will start when the Romans are most of the people. So in particular, their strength in terms of what? In terms of a quantity. In this surah, we notice that Allah Jalla wa'ala talks about what? About al-khalq a lot. The creation. Yeah? Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِي أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَمْتَشِرُونَ. And among his signs that he created you from dust, then you are human beings spreading all over the world. And then after that, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِي أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And among his signs that he created from your spouses, from yourselves, spouses, so you find tranquility and passion with them, and then you will spread. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ, indeed there are signs for those who reflect. And then when Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned this creation and his power to create and to spread people, and those people will spread and they will become powerful, Allah Jalla wa'ala is telling them that if you do not submit to Allah Jalla wa'ala, Allah Jalla wa'ala will replace your power and strength by weakness. And Allah Jalla wa'ala will defeat you as he defeated the Romans. No matter how strong you are, no matter how you spread on this globe, He is the one who created you, and He will make you, after you being strong, He will make you weak, and you will be defeated as the Romans will be defeated. And who will defeat you? Those who submit to Allah Jalla wa'ala. This is the theme of the surah. It was sent in a very, subhanAllah, powerful way, eloquent way, from different angles. We read by the end of the surah that what Allah Jalla wa'ala says, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'f, thumma ja'ala min ba'di da'fin quwwa. ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة يخلق ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير. Allah created you from weakness, and then He replaced the weakness with the strength, and then He replaced the weakness, the strength with what? Weakness. Allah Jalla wa'ala is able to create anything. So although you were created like this, you need to reflect upon this, because you might be strong at one time. This strength will be replaced with what? With weakness. And this is the qadar of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And it is up to Allah Jalla wa'ala to do whatever He wants to do. This is what? This is the end of this surah. Almost the end of the surah. And at the end of this surah, Allah Jalla wa'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fasbir, have sabr. Yes, and as we will see in the tafsir of that, Fasbir, يعني remain firm, upright, steadfast on what Allah Jalla wa ala commanded you. Fasbir, inna wa'ad Allah haqq, that the promise of Allah Jalla wa ala is true, and the promise of Allah Jalla wa ala will never fail. And it will be established. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ And وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَّنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ And don't be distracted by those who disbelieve. Remain firm on the haqq. And وَعْدَ اللَّهِ Whatever Allah Jalla wa'ala promised, it will come to you. What is the wa'd of Allah Jalla wa'ala? This, the end of the surah, just confirms and concludes the beginning of the surah as if it is a life cycle, subhanAllah, in a very ajeeb way. The beginning of the surah is what? Alif Lam Mim. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون وعد الله لا يخلف الله وعده ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. That the Romans, yes, they have been defeated and they will defeat the Persians, as we will see. Yes, and then Allah Jalla wa'ala said, this is the promise of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that there is no nation that is strong except it will be defeated one time. And you believers, if you are holding the truth and upright for the truth, you will defeat both. And this is the wa'd of Allah Jalla wa'ala. This is the promise of Allah Jalla wa'ala. As Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَمْنِهِمْ خَوْفًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. This is the promise of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that if you worship Allah Jalla wa'ala, yes, and you believe in Allah Jalla wa'ala, and you do the righteous things that Allah Jalla wa'ala, the righteous deeds that Allah Jalla wa'ala commanded you to do, that Allah Jalla wa'ala will what? Will establish the state of fear that you used to have with a state of what? Security. And Allah Jalla wa'ala will establish you on this earth. And Allah Jalla wa'ala will establish the deen that He wanted for you, which is your deen. What is the condition? يَعْبُدُونَنِي That they worship me alone without associating someone beside me. And this surah is talking about this. The wa'd of Allah Jalla wa'ala. The wa'd of Allah Jalla wa'ala, again, because this surah is called Surah Ar-Rum. And the Rum, we always remember the strength, the power of Ar-Rum, the spread of Ar-Rum, and what will happen to them, that they will be defeated by the believers if they are truly believers. Yeah, this is the story of this surah, and this is the theme of this surah. And this theme, as we said, that Allah Jalla wa Ala wants to send this message that the disbelievers, they might become strong one time, but because of their disbelief, because of their kufr, because of their shirk, yes, they are in fact know nothing about the reality of this life. And this is what also was mentioned in the beginning of this surah, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know little about this life, or they know what is apparent about this life, and they don't know the reality of this life. And those people should reflect upon themselves. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. They should reflect upon themselves, in themselves, upon the creation around them, that there is a purpose behind this creation. There is the truth behind this creation. What is that truth? Is to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala and nothing but Allah Jalla wa'ala. If they don't do this, no matter how powerful they were or they are, they will be defeated. And so this is a message for all types of people, that if you want to be victorious in the dunya and in the akhirah, you should be worshipping Allah Jalla wa'ala and submitting to Allah Jalla wa'ala. That's why in the surah we read very powerful verses when Allah Jalla wa'ala said, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ means glorify Allah Jalla wa'ala. Establish the lofty status of Allah Jalla wa'ala, the perfection of Allah Jalla wa'ala. If you don't do it, it is being established in the morning and in the evening. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. Not only that, glory belongs to Allah Jalla wa'ala. Praise belongs to Allah Jalla wa'ala. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. As I said, my dear brothers and sisters, I always think of what Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه تعالى said when he was on his deathbed. He said that I used to refer to 100 tafsir for every single ayah I read. More than 100 tafsir of every single ayah of the Quran. And now on my deathbed, I regret that I did not spend enough time with the Quran. And how much, my dear brothers and sisters, how much we spend time with the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. This is a call for all of us to go back to the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala and spend more time with the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And we don't want the enjoyment of the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala just a spiritual enjoyment with no real impact on our life. Okay, let us start just because of time. Allah Jalla wa'ala started this surah by Alif Lam Mim. Yes, and we have said that those letters that Allah Jalla wa'ala started number of surahs with them, yeah, those are disconnected letters. We have spoken in length about it, but the conclusion is those are disconnected letters. Alif, Lam, Mim. So if they are disconnected letters, obviously the letters by themselves, they don't build a word, and the word is the smallest. Yeah, is the smallest structure, or the smallest structure that might have a meaning. So a letter by itself has no meaning. And this is what the meaning of what some scholars said about those letters, that they have no meaning. It doesn't mean that they could have possibly a meaning, but they have no meaning here. No, they have no meaning means that they could not carry a meaning because they are letters. Otherwise, everything in the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala has a meaning and has a purpose. So these, because they are disconnected letters, obviously, the letter has no meaning. But they have a purpose. What is the purpose? As we said, that Allah Jalla wa Ala wants to tell the whole humanity that this book is what? Formed of those letters. Alif Lam Mim, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, Ha Mim, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim Ra, of those letters. Now, I am challenging you. Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling the humanity that I am challenging you that this Quran is formed of those letters. Now, can you produce a book like this book from those letters? This is the challenge. And that's why most of the surahs that start with those letters, those disconnected letters, they normally start with what? With a reference to the book. Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. Alif Lam Mim, this is the book. Reference to this book. Alif Lam Mim, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من التوراة والإنجيل. كتاب. So there is a reference to what? To the book. And so on. Alif Lam Mim, صاد Alif Lam Ra, etc. The scholar said that except three surahs in the Quran in which there is no reference to the book, yes, after those letters. But there is a reference to the book, which is the Quran inside those surahs that Allah Jalla wa Ala started with those disconnected letters. And they said this is one of them. Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. So there is no direct reference in those verses, yeah, that came after the disconnected letters, Alif Lam Mim. There is no reference to the book, to the Quran. Yeah? Alif Lam Mim. Yeah? In Surah Al-Baqarah, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. In Surah Ali Imran, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Yeah? But here there is no reference to the book. They said that this is one of them, and the second Torah is Surah. Anyone knows? Second surah is Surah Maryam. كاف ها يا عين صاد ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خافية. There is no reference to the Quran directly after these letters. كاف ها يا عين صاد ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا. Yeah. And the third surah is what? نون والقلم وما يسطرون. No. They said surah العنكبوت ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. But in those surahs there are challenges to the disbelievers about the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-Rum, Allah Jalla wa Ala said, yeah, the last ayah or the last among the last very few verses, the last few verses of the surah, Allah Jalla wa Ala said, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. And we have given parables, examples to the humanity, to the people, in this Qur'an. Yeah? In this Qur'an. And if you come to them with a sign or with a clear verse in front of, with a clear sign in front of them other than the Qur'an, they will still what? They will still reject it. They will still reject it. And they will not accept the haq. So, there is a reference to the challenge of the Quran in this surah. So, Allah Jalla wa Ala started this surah with Alif Lam Mim. As you know, that there are six surahs in the Quran that start with what? Alif Lam Mim. Baqarah, Ali Imran, and... Ankabut, then Luqman, la after Ankabut, this surah, طيب, yeah, this surah, and after Surah Al-Rum, yeah, after Surah Al-Rum, Sajda, and followed by Luqman, طيب. So these are six surahs that started with Alif Lam Mim. Sorry, we said Al-Rum, Luqman, and Al-Sajda. Yeah? So, Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, Ankabut, Al-Rum, Luqman and As-Sajda. All of them start with what? Alif Lam Mim. Okay. Allah Jalla wa'ala said, Alif Lam Mim, غُلِبَتْ الرُّوم. The Rome were defeated. Yeah? And this is the qira'a sahiha, although some of the kutub of the tafsir, some of the books of the tafsir, they said there were a qira'a or there was a qira'a, غَلَبَتْ الرُّوم. They said that is not an authentic qira'a. The authentic qira'a is غُلِبَتْ الرُّوم. I don't know if some said that that is an authentic qira'a, غَلَبَتْ الرُّوم. No, غُلِبَتْ الرُّوم. غُلِبَتْ الرُّوم is what? The room, yeah, were defeated. طيب. Let me just يعني mention the overall meaning of this, and we will go in more details. The room were defeated. في أدنى الأرض. في أدنى الأرض means in the nearest land to the Arabs' land. Yeah, the nearest. في أدنى الأرض. أدنى, the word أدنى, yeah, in Arabic can mean the farthest land or the closest land. Yeah, ذلك أدنى أن يعرفنا. This is closer that they will not be known, or this is likely not to. So the word أدنى, yeah, refers to both or can mean both. في أدنى الأرض, it doesn't mean in the farthest land. No, it is the in the nearest land to the land of the Arabs. And وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. And after they were defeated, they will defeat. في بضع سنين, in a matter of a few years, between 3 years and 9 years. في بضع سنين, لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد. To Allah جل وعلا belong everything. Yes, to Allah جل وعلا with belongs everything. لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد that to Allah جل وعلا belong everything and to Allah جل وعلا is the matter from before they were defeated and after they were defeated and when they are going when they will defeat then believers will be happy. Yeah, believers will be happy. وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ because of the victory that Allah Jalla wa'ala has given the Romans. It was reported in number of books, yeah, number of narrations, and the summary of those narrations that when Muslims were in Mecca, when Muslims were in Mecca, the Persians defeated the Romans. The Persians defeated Romans in a place called Adriat. Adriat is just the borders of Asham. Yeah? Just the borders of Asham between the peninsula and Asham. So the Persians defeated the Romans. As you know, during that time there were two superpowers. The Persians, and they used to control the eastern side of maybe the Middle East, including Iran, parts of India, parts of Pakistan, even parts of maybe the eastern side of Turkey, and maybe some parts of the what is known as Russia now. This is the Persian Empire. And on the other side, the western side of the Middle East, was controlled by what? By the Romans. By the Romans. Yeah, and mainly they were concentrated in Byzantine, or sorry, they were concentrated in Constantinople. Constantinople is what is known now as what? As Istanbul. طيب. The history of the Romans, I think all of you know the history of the Romans. The Romans, They some scholars said that they were the cousins of, or they were among the, or they were the cousins of the children of Ishaq, of Bani Israel. Yeah? The far cousins of Bani Israel. We don't want to get into that and the verification of that. Anyway, the Romans, they moved to Italy, maybe 1,200 years before, or BC, yes, before the Christ. And they established themselves there, and they built Rome. And then maybe 300 years BC, they were fighting, and then one of the kings there, he divided his empire between two of his children, or between his children, there were two, and he gave the western side to one of the children and the eastern side to one of the children. And then those two children, they were fighting, etc. And at the end, the Romans were established mainly on Constantinople, which is known as Istanbul. Yeah, they were established there for more than 1,000 years, or maybe more than that. The Romans, originally, they were mushriks. And some of the historians, Ibn Kathir, said that they were worshipping the sun or worshipping some other stars, and they were doing sujood for the North Pole. Anyway, then Musa alayhi salam came, yeah, and then Isa alayhi salam came, and they became Christians, and then again, some of their scholars, yeah, changed their religion from Tawheed, yeah, the original message of Isa alayhi salam, which is Tawheed, and they became again, yani, mushriks, although they were known as the people of the book. So they became, yani, they became Christians, and they were known Christians, although their Christianity was a distorted Christianity. But they were known as what? The people of the book. And Muslims used to refer to them, irrespective whether they are the Eastern Romans or the Western Romans, and they used to refer to them as the Romans. And sometimes they would refer to them as the Byzantines. Yeah? Or sometimes they used to refer to them as Bani al-Asfar. Bani al-Asfar means what? Those who, yani, the children of the yellow people. Yellow people means, by not yellow, means that they are white with blonde hair. Yeah? So they used to call them Bani al-Asfar like this. Anyway, we said that they used to follow Christianity. It happened because they were controlling the world at that time, and they were the two superpowers in the world, the Romans and the Persians. The Romans, the last king of the Romans was Heracles, the one who is known in history, and the one who met Abu Sufyan. And they said there were reports that Heracles accepted Islam. Yeah? Ibn Hajar said there were reports that he accepted Islam and he died as a Muslim, but he hid that. Yeah? And the story, his story is known. Some people say no, he did not accept Islam. The Persians, they were the fire worshippers. So the Persians, they said that, yani, briefly, that there was a lady who was, yani, known for her wisdom, and she used to give birth to wise children. So the king of the Persians, one time he said that he wants to fight the Romans. So he went to her, he asked her, who among your children can be the leader of the army? I want to attack the Romans. Yeah, to cut it short. So that king, he attacked the Romans. There were number of, yani, narrations. One narration that he attacked the Romans in Constantinople. Yeah, and one narration that he attacked the Romans in Adruat, this area yeah, which is closest to the peninsula. And when he attacked them, yani again briefly, he put Constantinople under siege. And Heraclius was unable, he could not break that siege. And Heraclius refused to surrender to him. So Heraclius was a very clever person. He said to him, okay, listen, let us have a deal. I will surrender. And what do you want? Yeah, he said, give me this much amount of wealth, properties, etc. He said, listen, I don't have it now. Let me go and visit my countries who used to be loyal to me, and I will collect those properties to you. So Kisra, the king of the Persians or the leader of the Persians, said that is not a problem. Okay, you just leave. So Heraclius left. He left, and the king of the Persians or the leader of the Persians, he was still putting Constantinople under siege. Heraclius left. And then he started to gather people around him. Yeah? And then he went to the land of the Persians. And he defeated them because all of the power was what? All of their armies and men were what? Were in Constantinople. And they said even he took his ladies and women as what? As slaves. He took all of them and he went to what? The leader of the Persians. And he said, you asked me for properties, women, and kada, this is for you. So then the Persian leader, he felt so angry about it and he felt that he was defeated. So he had a commitment that he will defeat the Heraclius. Yeah? So Heraclius, again, he could not defend himself, and the Persians were very strong. So again, he plotted another plot. He told his people, let us pass this river or this sea, yeah, and let us pretend that we have drowned in that sea, yeah, or we passed by that and we lost power. So the Persian leader, he was following them, chasing them. He came to the sea. He saw some of their properties. And he said that they have drowned in the sea, or they lost most of their power. So like what Pharaoh did, he crossed the sea. He wants to chase them more. When he crossed the sea, yeah, the Roman, the Heraclius had a plot to come out of some, I don't know what did he do in the sea, to come out of the sea and to start to kill the Persians, and he managed to kill them and to defeat them, and they drowned in the sea. So the first defeat of the Romans is what Allah Jalla Ala mentioned here, and then the Romans defeated the Persians after 6 years. Yeah? So the mushriks in Mecca, they were idol worshippers. And they heard that there was a fight between the Persians and the Romans. And the Persians defeated the Romans. So they were happy. In one narration, there are different narrations. In one narration, they went to the Muslims and they said to them, you are worshipping God like the Romans are worshipping their God. And those are not worshipping the God, and we are not worshipping the God. And those people, the Persians, defeated your people who worship the God. Is it clear? So they said, we are the idol worshippers, and our people, the Persians, are idol worshippers, and they defeated those who worship the God. So the Muslims were sort of sad because of this. They went to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ, in one narration, said to them, yes, the Romans were defeated, but they will defeat the Persians. Yeah? So the Muslims went back to the Mushrikeen and they told them, yes, the Romans were defeated, but by Allah, they will defeat your people or your friends. This is one narration. A similar narration is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, this is the common one, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once had an argument with Ubay ibn Khalaf. And Ubay ibn Khalaf said, Abu Bakr, the Romans who worship your God were defeated by our people who do not worship the God. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu heard this. He went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah جل وعلا revealed ألف لام ميم غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq went back to Ubay and he told him, it is true that the Romans were defeated, but they will defeat the Persians. He said, come on Abu Bakr, don't tell me this. He said, don't tell me that your friend Muhammad, yeah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling you this. He said, no, he said this, and you will see that this is happening. He said, are you confident of what you are saying? Abu Bakr said, yes, I am confident. He said, okay, let us have a bet. Let us have a bet. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said, okay, 5 camels I will be given to you if you win in this bet. And you will give me 5 camels. So he went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sorry. Then Ubay, the mushrik, he told him, Abu Bakr, in how long, yeah, what is the time period, what is the term for this betting? When are they going to be defeated? He said, Allah جل وعلا says, في بضع سنين, the word بضع is from 3 years to 9 years. So let us say 6 years. Yeah? So Abway said, okay, 6 years. If I win, you will give me 5 camels. If you win, I'll give you 5 camels. Abu Bakr went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was angry or was not happy with this. On another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Abu Bakr, the word bid' is from 3 to 9. Why don't you increase it to become 7 years? Yeah? So Abu Bakr went to Ubay and he told him, Ubay, yeah? Ubay was happy. He told him, Abu Bakr, you changed your mind, yes? He said, no, no, no. Let us make it 7 years and let us make it 100 camels. So Ubay said, okay, let us make it 7 years and 100 camels. Then within that period, the Romans defeated the Persians and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq won that bet. The scholar said that happened before Sharia prohibited betting, yeah, or gambling. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq won that. There was one narration as well that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said 6 years, yeah? Then after six years, the Persians were not defeated. So Ubay came to Abu Bakr, or Ubay sent to Abu Bakr. Yes, and he told him, Abu Bakr, you lost, yeah, the deal, so send me the 5 camels. Then Abu Bakr sent him the 5 camels. Then within one year, Romans defeated the Persians. So Abu Bakr sent to Ubay and he told him, yeah, give me the camels because they were defeated. Ubay by that time was killed in the Battle of Uhud and he took it from his legal heirs. As I told you, there were many narrations, but this is the conclusion. They said that this surah was revealed 1 year before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yeah, and that is the year where the Persians defeated the Romans, 1 year before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. 6 years later, which is during the Battle of Al-Hudaybiyah, according to most of the narrations, and according to some narrations, no, it was It was in the Battle of Badr. Yes, during the Battle of Badr, or just immediately after the Badr, the Battle of Badr, the Romans defeated the Persians, and Abu Bakr won the deal with Ubay ibn Ka'b. Different narrations, but this is the conclusion. The scholar said that Abu Bakr had this bet with Ubay. This is before, of course, the prohibition of betting. There was one narration that when Abu Bakr won the deal, he came with the camels to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is malu suht. This is the haram money. Okay, just give it as a sadaqah." You know, there are some masail faqhiya. Some scholars said that the Hanafis believe that in Darul Harb, you are allowed to bet. Yeah, and this is one of their dalil. We don't want to get into this. Yeah, because this is a very weak opinion. And some scholars said that even the Hanafis, the established opinion of the Hanafi is to abandon that, which is betting. Allahu alam. Anyway, this is not a strong opinion. And even if it is a valid opinion, they say that this is in Darul Harb. Darul Harb is the land in which people are fighting. So people are killing each other. So taking the money, obviously, will be allowed, because in Dar al-Harb, killing is taking... Dar al-Harb means what? The battlefield. This is what does Dar al-Harb mean. Yeah, a battlefield. In a battlefield, people are killing each other, and once they kill each other, obviously, they will take the wealth of each other. That's why if they say in the battlefield, you can take the money peacefully, take it without killing. This is the principle that some Hanafis use to justify the position that betting or dealing with riba is allowed in Darul Harb. Anyway, this is a masala, we don't want to get into it. But this is the reason for the revelation of this surah. Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibat al-Rum. The Romans were defeated by the Persians, in the nearest land to you. And within a few years, the Romans will defeat those who defeated them. Yeah? Allah Jalla wa'ala said, Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibat. Yeah? Ghulibat. He did not say the Persians defeated the Romans. Yeah? As some people said, just as a reflection, Allah Jalla wa'ala don't want to mention the Persians. They are not worth to be mentioned in the Quran. Yeah? Not to say the Persians defeated the Romans. It is known that the Persians are those who defeated the Romans. Yeah? And why Abu Bakr, when the Muslims heard that the Romans defeated the Persians again? Because the mushriks were happy that the Persians defeated the Romans. Why? Because they are what? The people of the book. And the Sahaba or the Muslims are the people of the book. So when the Romans, who were seen as the people of the book, closer to the Muslims, defeated the mushrikeen, who used to be idol worshippers, the Persians, they were happy, because at least they said, these are the people of the book, they are far better than what? The idol worshippers, who are what? The Persians. And that's why Allah Jalla wa'ala said, وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. On that day, the believers will be happy with the Nasr, with the victory that Allah Jalla wa'ala has granted the Romans. Okay, this is the introduction to this surah. Inshallah, we will continue this surah again, and we will see that this surah is taking us through different important principles, philosophical principles, divine rules that we need to be aware of and we need to live in our life, especially in this difficult situation that we are going through. Jazakumullahu khairan. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.